Welcome to today's deep dive. Our mission for you, the listener, is to uncover exactly how South Africa's Western Cape is transforming this aging, coal-reliant energy system into a 20 billion rand green energy gold mine.
Yeah, and we're using the 2025 Green Cape Renewable Energy Market Intelligence Report to really get into the details of how this is happening.
Because, I mean, it is wild. Commercial electricity prices there have skyrocketed over 700% since 2005.
Right, and even though they actually managed to pause load shedding.
Because of the rolling blackouts, right?
Exactly. They paused those in early 2024. But the underlying cost of power from the national utility, Eskom, it is just so high that it is forcing commercial and agricultural businesses to completely rethink how they operate.
Okay, let's unpack this. Because looking at the numbers, relying on the national grid right now feels like a business trying to operate this aging gas-guzzling car.
Oh, absolutely.
And they're desperately trying to swap it out for an efficient hybrid, but they have to execute this massive engine swap while they are still driving 120 on the highway.
That is a great way to put it. And that urgency is exactly what is triggering this rooftop revolution.
Right.
Businesses are just completely bypassing the grid. They are investing in embedded solar PV, meaning they install generation directly at their facilities instead of waiting on remote utility scale solar farms.
Which makes total sense. I mean, the report says it is a 6 billion rand market today.
Yeah, and projected to hit 20 billion by 2030. Because solar offers, you know, up to 40 to 60% savings compared to Eskom's grid rates.
Wow, so the math makes it an easy choice. But this isn't just a local cost-saving thing, is it?
No, not at all. It is literally a survival tactic for global trade. Exporters in the Western Cape are facing these really strict international carbon taxes.
Like the EU's Carbon Border Adjustment Mechanism, or CBAM, right?
Yeah, exactly. If a company's exports are made using carbon-heavy coal power from the national grid, they just get hit with massive financial penalties at the European border.
So it is like deciding to grow your own vegetables because the supermarket price has tripled.
Yeah, precisely.
On its own, it is a smart, cost-saving measure. But doing so miraculously satisfies these incredibly strict EU export standards you need to stay in business. You are dodging local grid tariffs and international carbon tariffs in one single move.
It is a win-win. But while the commercial players are rapidly building out all that generation on their roofs, the utility scale side.
The massive solar and wind farms for the broader region.
Right. They're hitting a physical blockade. The regional grid is completely full. I mean, there's literally zero available connection capacity in the Western Cape for new large scale projects.
Zero space on the wires. Yet the report still highlights this 45 billion rand investment opportunity. Here's where it gets really interesting. How do they bypass that?
The workaround is a clever strategy called curtailment. Basically, developers agree through software to limit or essentially throw away up to 10% of their energy output during peak congestion times.
Wait, really? Are you telling me it is actually smart business to intentionally waste 10% of perfectly good green energy just to get access to the wires? How does throwing away power magically create physical space on a grid that is already at 100% capacity?
Well, it comes down to thermal limits. You see, transmission lines only fill up and risk overheating at the absolute peak of solar noon when every single panel is firing at maximum.
Ah, okay.
So if developers use software to just clip off that top 10% of peak generation, the wires stay cool.
Oh, wow.
Right? So you avoid spending billions of rands in years upgrading the physical cables, but you still get this massive project connected, earning revenue the other 90% of the day.
That is brilliant. But clipping peak solar brings us to the evening problem. When the sun goes down, that is usually when peak grid pricing hits.
Exactly. And that is where lithium-ion batteries step in to bridge the gap. For years, businesses only bought batteries as emergency backups just to survive load shedding.
Right, just to keep the lights on.
But with the blackouts pausing, that hardware is now being repurposed for what is called value stacking.
Oh, storing cheap off-peak power or your own excess solar and then discharging it during the expensive peak demand periods to dodge high tariffs.
Exactly.
So they aren't just deadweight emergency backups anymore. They are acting like Wall Street day traders, you know, buying energy when it's cheap and deploying it when it's most valuable.
The margins on that daily trading are exactly what justify the huge capital expense.
Mm-hmm.
But the bottleneck right now is the supply chain.
How so?
About 40% of these battery cells are imported from China, which leaves developers totally exposed to port delays and currency fluctuations. And we are also seeing a serious lack of local fire safety regulations for thermal runaway.
Thermal runaway, that is the really dangerous chain reaction where a single battery cell overheats, catches fire, and ignites the cells next to it, right?
Correct. And without standardized local regulations for handling those specific chemical fires, insurers and financiers are understandably nervous about backing massive commercial battery installations.
So we have this booming, highly lucrative market, but the operational rulebook is literally being written in real time.
It really is. And if we connect this to the bigger picture, what you are seeing in the Western Cape isn't just a reaction to high prices. It is a live blueprint for corporate energy independence and global trade survival.
Which leaves you, our listener, with a fascinating, almost existential question to ponder. If all these commercial operations master on-site solar generation and battery value stacking to become entirely self-reliant, what happens to the legacy national grid when its biggest, most reliable paying customers just stop buying power entirely?